Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 7, Text Number 14. The title of the chapter is Activities of King Bharat. Paro Raja Savitur Jatavitu Devasya Bhagumana Sedam Jana Suretasya Puna Avishechaste Hamsam Grita Nanam Nisad Rigiram Idam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon His devotees. The Lord has created this universe from His own spiritual potency. According to His desire, the Lord entered this universe as the Super Soul and by virtue of His different potencies. He is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. Purport. The predominating deity of the sun is another expansion of Narayan, who is illuminating the entire universe. The Lord enters the hearts of all living entities as a super soul, and He gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sahasya Charam Iti Sannivistitaha. I am sitting in everyone's heart, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. As a super soul, the Lord enters the hearts of all living entities, as stated in Brahma Samhita 5:35, Arantarastam Paramano Charantarastam. He enters the universe and the atom as well. In the Rig Veda, the predominating deity of the sun is worshipped by this mantra, Dereya Sada Savitya Mandala Madhyam Vrati Narayana Sarasriyasya Sani Vashtitaha. Narayan sits on His lotus flower within the sun. By reciting this mantra, every living entity should take shelter of Narayan just as the sun rises. According to the modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the sunshine, all the planets are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayan within the sun is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayan should be worshipped by the Gayatri mantra or the Rig mantra. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of King Bharat. Forgive me, actually, I'm not that qualified. I think two times I give class. Yeah, one time very long time ago on this Padyatra, and I think maybe one time in between, I'm not sure. So normally I'm coming here like you're sitting. I'm normally coming to this place for hearing. I was not thinking to come here for speaking, so I will try whatever is my capacity. There's many points are made here. First of all, because King Bharat was in his daily worshipping, was worshipping the Lord with the Gayatri mantra. So here's an explanation given by Srila Prabhupada about the importance of the sun. And in the sloka here, this is a very analysis is given, is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is illuminating the entire universe. So, and then that Srila Prabhupada is reflecting that with the rays of the sun, that even the materialist can understand that without the sun, this entire material universe would not be functioning. It is the center pole where all the planets are rotating around. It is the main gravity force for all the other planets to stay in orbit. And it is the basically only real source of energy for all the planets. We can see that sun rays they are coming to this earthly planet and they're warming up the earth. And we can see already on the earthly planet these parts which are not illuminated by the sun, like the North or the South Pole. They are turned totally into ice, and actually normal way of living is not possible. And besides that, everyone knows when it gets evening, the light is going, and in the morning when the sun is rising, the light is coming back. So all our activities are depending on the sun. It is not only for the warmth, even the beautiful sense objects and their nice senses and their nice sense perceptions, if there is no light, we won't see. So it would be very difficult to function in any way. So today the demoniac civilization, they're trying to somehow or another find means and ways for artificial living. So they invented this electric light, or they invented gas light, or previously also there used to be oil lamps. But these are all transformations of the energy of the sun. We can see today it is basically the civilizations. The other day was a petrol strike. I don't know if it was here in Bombay also. So I remember we were trying with our scooter in the morning. We was not knowing, naturally, devotees, we don't know. We didn't read the paper. So we had our scooter on reserve and we wanted to get some job done. And then you couldn't fill in the petrol, and that was it for that day. So today, we're very much depending on these artificial sources of energy. But we have to remember that originally this oil was created, at least to the scientist's idea, was created by plants which had been fermented and compressed, and this has turned into oil and gas. So originally, the sunlight has entered into this plant, and that energy which is there in this oil is actually conversed energy of the sun. It is kind of stored inside that oil. It is stored inside wood. It is stored in, like, the oil of the plants we're using, or ghee. This is all transformation of the energy of the sun. So the sun is the center pole and the center source of energy for this universe. So in the same way, it is described here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in pure goodness, is illuminating the universe by his various energy. So the same way we have to understand that the Brahman effulgence, which is originally there in this spiritual world, there is no need of sun because everything is effulgent. The same Brahman effulgence is kind of pervading within this material universe, but we are not able to really perceive that. And here in the sloka, it is also nicely described that the Lord is bestowing all benedictions on his devotees and fulfilling all the material desires for the people who have the desire for material enjoyment. So the Lord is very much present within this material world. So it is only ourself, our own inability, if we are not seeing him. And on top of that, he has created this world by his energy, and he's entering as a super soul. It is like amazing that people are denying the existence of God. It is simply amazing. Actually, we can as devotees, we cannot understand, because we see nothing belongs to us. This energy is given to us, and the light is given to us by the Lord. And even as the original Atma, we are also Tatasya Shakti. We are the marginal potency of the Lord. So we are itself as a person the energy of the Lord, and now we are in that, Bhairanga Shakti, isn't it? The external energy, we are in the external energy of the Lord, and this is also created by the Lord, and it is maintained by the Lord, that the Lord is entering here. First of all, is this Brahman effulgence, and again he is entering in a personalized aspect, he is entering as the super soul. Each and every atom is sustained by the super soul, which is a very interesting point, because the scientists, they have some kind of an idea that whole thing happened by chance. There was a big bang or this or that. They had some strange ideas how this universe came into existence. But it is an interesting point that in this system which they say is happening by chance, each and every atom, like the small parts out of which this material substance is made, is having a little nucleus inside, and these electrons are going around, and these electrons have a particular number, and these neutrons and protons, I think, with inside this nucleus have a particular number, and we can see if there's a slight change, even in one of the atoms, that system of the atom bomb is meant that they're creating a change, or I think they're breaking the nucleus up or something like that, and an immense amount of energy gets free from that. So if we would say that there would be the principle of chance persisting within this universe, then at any given moment, one of the atoms, just one of the atoms within the universe, could change its substance. It could change from 15 to 14 or something like that. And if one could happen, then a chain reaction, and the whole universe could stop to exist. So it is not happening. And why this is not happening? This is very clearly given here, because the Lord is entering as a super soul, and he's taking care of each and every atom. This is sheerly amazing. That is totally amazing. And then again, he is taking the journey with each and every soul. When the souls are making that beginning mistake of turning towards material energy, then the Lord is so much merciful that he's actually taking himself, he's expanding himself in a Paramatma into the super soul, and he's traveling with the living entity for time immemorial. It is, Nitya Bada, isn't it? Eternally, the living entities which are present within this material world. It is called eternal because we are here for such an amount of time. And the Lord as a Paramatma is traveling with us, and it says here, he's maintaining all living entities, desiring material enjoyment. So even he has created this material world to some degree that the living entities who desiring can enjoy, but his original idea is that the living entities come here to their senses, or come to the... He's a giver of intelligence. They're coming to the point of intelligence and realizing that this is a place to rectify ourselves. It is actually a place to rectify this beginning mistake of envy to the Lord, or that beginning mistake of wanting to lord over material energy. So he's traveling with each and every living entity. It is very amazing. Yes, a very nice sloka today. Actually, yesterday I was traveling around in Bombay getting some visa work done. It is such a hell. It is such a... Like coming from Pandapur or Solapur, which are also somewhat normal places, but coming to this place is like a total hell. This Bombay is I don't know how these people... I visited some friends of my wife yesterday, some girls here from Gopinath Temple, and they're living in some kind of a lower class setup. It's amazing how people are living. It's like unbelievable, like 10 people sharing a tiny little room, and there's no running water, and it is hot like in hell, and the neighbors are like right on top of you. It's amazing. It is totally amazing. And these people are totally content and happy in that situation. They're thinking, this is very nice, we got our place. They feel very much attached to Mumbai. Recently I did some of the horoscopes. Their main worry was like, can we stay in Mumbai, or we have to go out of Mumbai? So within that situation, they're so much worried that they maybe have to leave Mumbai, you know. Maybe they get married to Pune and they have to get out. Like, it's amazing how the living entity, so the Lord is supplying all that. He's supplying that facility of material enjoyment. But we see also the Lord in the first part of the sloka, the Lord is also fulfilling the desires of his devotees, and he's giving benediction to his devotees. So this is the opposite side of the people who are not very much attached to Mumbai, the people who are actually more thinking about the spiritual world, who are like thinking how it is in Vrindavan, how it is in Vaikuntha. The Lord is also benedicting the devotees. So we have to Raghunath Maharaj is always so much making appreciation. I was thinking this morning, where We are very much fortunate, actually, in this whole place of Mumbai. We are actually having that benediction that we can get up early in the morning. And some people thinking this is austere. I don't think so. We are very much benedicted that we have that facility of a wonderful, peaceful temple room. We have these beautiful deities, and we have this free time for chanting japa. Or we have this free time for darshanati and guru puja and listening Bhagavatam class. Many people may would even desire such a thing, but they're not. They have to already wake up early in the morning and have to do so many little duties, and then they have to run to work. So in that time, so we're very much benedicted by the Lord. So we should very much appreciate that situation, and we should, I think, try our level best to kind of get the best out of that benediction which is already bestowed upon us. I was a little sleepy in japa this morning, so it was very difficult. So later on I was thinking, you know, we're getting that chance, and what I'm doing, I'm falling asleep. So it is very difficult for us sometimes to understand, first of all, why we got that benediction. First of all, some or another, we got that benediction. So it is very difficult, at least for me, I don't know, for you to perceive why we got that benediction. I've been a normal German person. I was a drunkard, a meat eater. We were smoking ganja. I became a punk later on. What we're not all done. And then once a sudden, we came in contact with this Srimad Bhagavatam, and the whole situation changed. And then 15 years later, I was there in Pandapur, and now I'm trying to shift to Vrindavan. So how this comes about is very difficult to understand. So we have obviously got a benediction due to some past activities, or certainly due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who has created that the society for our souls to take advantage of this Krishna conscious movement. So we have to be very thankful. And I think Maharaj always makes that point of humility. I think this goes very much hand in hand. In the second, we appreciate the benediction we're having. So automatically we can derive a sense of humility. Or automatically, if we're having a sense of humility, this thankfulness will be there. And that then if that thankfulness and humility is there, that awareness of the Lord is coming basically automatically. This is the main point that sloka here. The Lord is illuminating the universe. He has created the universe from his own spiritual potency. That is another point. In the beginning, when we're becoming devotees, everything is looking like maya. So we very much all the time spending our time to try to discriminate. This is maya, this is maya, this is not good, that is not good, this thought is not good. But it is said here that the Lord has created that from his spiritual potency. So by substance, there is really nothing really material. We couldn't say anything is material, because how the Lord, who is fully spiritual by nature, could create something material that is only our vision, really, which is turning things into material things. We see this Srila Prabhupada always gives that example. He was having that dictaphone. Many times he used to use that example. He's saying this dictaphone was meant for some other purpose, but we're using this dictaphone in Krishna's service. So this dictaphone is becoming totally spiritual. So it is just our thought or our mentality, how we're using things which differentiate between material and spiritual. Like in lower forms of devotional service, we're trying to actually manipulate the material energy. We're trying to force up on some sadhana, and we're trying to force ourselves to do something which we actually don't want to do. But in later stages of devotional service, we're just totally depending up on the Lord, and we're seeing whatever comes, even if it is not really pleasing to us, or even if it is somewhat giving obstacle in devotional service, we're seeing that as an arrangement of the Lord. So it is just our own consciousness, actually, which is making these things material or spiritual, you know. Sometimes it looks like we're falling in Maya. And so then we're in Maya and we're lamenting and we're trying to. But later on, the situation which seemed to be from the beginning point of view seemed to be very unfavorable, is giving us a realization which later on gives us a great stepping stone for devotional service. So it is just the consciousness that everything is depending on the Lord. So more we're developing that consciousness, so less actually we come in contact with the so-called material energy, because it is an energy at the end of the Lord. And if we would have the eyes to see, then there would be only there is only the energy, and there's so many paramatmas. Every atom would, you know, a lot of paramatmas in this room, plus this in each and every living entity's heart. So the Lord is maintaining the devotees. And the Lord is also maintaining all living entities' material desires. So, and at the end, the Lord is a giver, it's given in that sloka, is the giver of intelligence. So even that at one point, maybe we were thinking, okay, I'm a devotee, and we're identifying ourselves that, yes, I've taken up to devotional service. It is not even, even that was not really our own endeavor. It was the Lord who is the giver of intelligence. The Lord has given us the intelligence that we could come to Him. What is it? Also in Bhagavad Gita, those 10:10, isn't it? Ahamsavasa Prapavyam. Or 10:8. That I'm giving the living entity the intelligence by which the living entity can come to me. So it is totally, everything is depending on the Lord. And We just have to learn how to appreciate that. Like in the material world, everything is depending on the sun. So the sun is also called Surya Narayan. The sun god is called Surya Narayan. Where is it? Near Jagannath Puri, Konark. There's a great temple. We can see huge temple with the different horses. It's arranged like a chariot. The sun god is traveling in that chariot. So it is a very powerful living entity. And because it's so powerful, the Lord Himself is also a... the sun god is called Surya Narayan. And here Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that the Lord Narayan is also situated within the lotus flower in the sun. So thing has to be understood very carefully, how the Lord is illuminating the same way as the sun is illuminating. And we see for the scientists, Srila Prabhupada is making that point here about the modern scientists, they can actually not really understand the sun. They're making so many speculations. What is that? There is that physical phenomena is even there. They cannot really understand the sun ray. If it is, if it is a wave, or if it is a particle, it's like a, isn't it? Somebody is scientific. Yeah, there's a great question. If it is actually, it is behaving like a wave, but on the other hand, it is behaving like a particle. So the scientists, which are trying with their speculative minds and their imperfect senses, trying to understand the creation of the Lord, they're not really able to understand the creation of the Lord. At the other hand, this light is traveling in a very great speed. And I think it was Einstein who came up with that idea of the fourth dimension time. And I think time is relative to this. If you reach the speed of light, time is coming to a halt. Is it like that? Scientific people? I'm trying to remember something from my school days, because Srila Prabhupada makes a point. So faster you travel, so slower the time will then. If you reach that final, you know, in the science fiction movies, they're always showing when the spaceship is coming to the point of speed of light, some big bang is happening, something. So supposed to, when the living entity would travel with the speed of light, which is very fast, then the factor time would come to the point zero. So these are all interrelated. And such a great persons like Einstein, they have a little idea. And he himself actually admitted, my only understanding is like from the shore of the ocean of knowledge, we have understood one grain. Was it Einstein? Newton. So even the scientists themselves, who have a little bit of an idea, they found out that their knowledge is very, very limited. And so already here from the Bhagavatam, we're hearing that Srila Prabhupada makes a point that the moonshine is also having an influence on the growing of plants, where the scientists only think that the sun is growing the plants. But experiments these days have shown that according to the moon phase, you're putting your seeds in the ground, you get very different results. In ancient India, farmers used to follow that. And now scientific research has also shown that. So as devotees, we have to be very respectful to the Lord, and the sun is naturally also a representation of the Lord. So sometimes we see in the morning devotees offering their namaskars to the sun. I guess if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just like the sun, so when we are offering our obeisances here, Srila Prabhupada hasn't trained us that. Even he is sometimes giving such an idea of respect in his purports, but in his practical ideas, he has told if we are offering our obeisances to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything else is automatically included. So we don't have to chant the mantra he has given in the Rig Veda. As Brahman, second initiated devotees, we do chant the Gayatri mantra every morning. So we are deriving that same benefit, and that is related here in the sloka. It said that the Supreme Personality is in the mode of pure goodness. The idea of chanting that Gayatri mantra is actually to bring us to the mode of goodness, or also pure goodness, which is certainly, as a mode of goodness, a stepping stone to reach pure goodness, and which is a stepping stone to perform a devotional service, which later on comes to the point of actual devotional sentiments, to actual pure devotional service. So I think that is basically what I can speak on that subject matter. Please, I'm in transit right now. I put all my things in the transport, and I just left Pandapur 3 days ago, and I'm moving towards Vrindavan. So please, all of you could bless me that I can peacefully go to Vrindavan, and not just to the place which is situated in UPs, or actually go to the place of Vrindavan where Krishna is performing his pastime. So please, all of you, please bless me. So is there any question or any comment on that? I'm not very prepared. I came late last night at 8:30, 9 o'clock. I wasn't knowing what is a sloka. Somehow or another, yesterday I agreed. So if somebody asked a question, I can spend another 10 minutes. Okay, the Brahmacharya is... It is kind of... I remember reading in one sloka in the Bhagavatam, asking questions is kind of the duty, you know? The speaker has to speak, and the audience should sing and ask the question. It's kind of a spiritual exchange.
Devotee is requesting that we narrate some inspiring experiences and accounts from your Padyatra.
Ah, it's a good old Padyatra. Yeah. An interesting experience. See, the thing is, in the temple, everything is kind of very regulated. It is very regulated. So, within that regulation, after some time, that can be very nice. That goes very nice with that sloka. We are forgetting the involvement, the benediction of the Lord, we are forgetting. Actually, it is very easy to forget. We take it very much for granted. Whereas, if you every day depend on the Lord for finding a place to sleep, a place to cook, a place to take baths, then naturally the awareness of the mercy of the Lord is very much higher. That is very much more in top gear. It's like, just imagine I'm putting you on a motorbike right now and sending you somewhere to Dombivli and find a place for 20 people to stay for free. And that place should be nicely centrally located, and there should be a place to park a tractor with 3 trailers, 5 bullocks, a bullock cart, and there should be room for the program at night. There has to be a current connection, and there has to be some water facility, and somebody has to give grass for the bullocks. So just imagine, I put you on that bike right now, and you have to find that place. You think it's impossible, isn't it? Could you think you could do? Anyone ready to do? Not easy. So that situation is padyatra every day. Somebody has to go ahead and find the place. And it is, I think we have similar experiences sometimes on book distribution. You know, you're trying to sell a book to somebody and nobody is taking, and then finally the right person is coming. So the person is not coming because of your endeavor. The person is coming because Krishna is sending the person. I don't know how far you're having that. So the same thing, sometimes when we go ahead and we're trying to find a place to stay for tomorrow, the Lord already knows very perfectly well where He's going to stay. So it is not our own endeavor to find the place. It is very interesting, you know. Sometimes you think this is the perfect place and you start to make arrangement, meet the man, this, that, and nothing works. For hours and hours and hours you try and you won't get the place. And right 200 meters down, you had seen a place before, but you thought this is not good. And within 2 minutes, you get that place. You just walk in, the owner says, yes, you're from Hare Krishna, very nice. I've seen your padyatra yesterday on the road. I was so much desiring you to come. The place is fixed. So this is a whole kind of thing with Krishna consciousness. This is, I remember one time, Radhanath Maharaj and Lokanath Maharaj, within a month, given me the same instruction. It is that we have to not try to perform devotional service on our own. Because our own potency is very less, we have to try to actually become an instrument of the Lord. Then we can do so much. That was just before we built that temple in Pandharpur. 2 times that same instruction within a short amount of time. So it is that what we are daily realizing on Padyatra, that the Lord is totally involved in what we are doing. It is not that we are doing. That is a very everyday experience. Besides that, there's so many little experiences we had over the years. But that is, I think, a main lesson to learn. And naturally, prasadam is every day at a different time. You can never judge the tractor, what is happening when the cooking is ready, and so you don't know where we are on the road, and then the tractor has to go ahead. There has to be a place, at least a tree or veranda, some shady place, and a hand pump, some water supply has to be there. So there is no guarantee when you're getting your breakfast. So this is a very nice exercise. Because sometimes we see in the temple when the prasadam is 15, 20 minutes late, due to some unforeseen reason, devotees feel something like, hey, you know. So why is that not ready? We're not thinking, oh, anyhow, you know, the Lord has not arranged it yet. We're thinking, hey, why it is not ready? But whereas on Padyatra, it is sometimes 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever, wherever the time and the place is come. And another thing is, I think, to learn to appreciate basic facilities. If you ever been in a desert somewhere and you didn't have water to take baths, then you really much appreciate if somebody gives you like half a bucket of water. You very much appreciate to that person, and very much appreciate to the situation that the Lord has supplied you that water. So we're taking it very much for granted as we're switching on the light. Many times we don't have light. So we're taking it for granted. We're switching on that light. We're switching on that fan. Many times there's no fan. We are opening the tap. The water is coming. We're going in the prasadam hall. The prasadam is on time. And even we have our fixed places for preaching, which are already somehow or another in order. So many little setups we're making, and we're taking it all for granted. It's like sometimes you end up in a village where the people really don't like you. They really don't like you. You're coming there to preach, and these fellows, I think in Haryana, all the time, they would ask that very particular question, is why are you coming here? Questioning your whole existence. You're coming there to preach, you have a concept, and these people say, why are you coming here? What is your reason for coming here? Why are you wasting your time in coming here? You know, so very difficult sometimes the situation. I remember some town was there in Haryana, and I think for hours we moved and were trying to sell our book, and in the whole process nobody bought a book, and only one person took Charnamrita, and that was because we stopped and drank a sugarcane juice at that sugarcane wala, and because he had an income from us, and in reciprocation of that he took Charnamrita. So it is not always favorable. It is not most of the time it is favorable, but it's not always favorable. And another very interesting realization is when you're coming to the dam, when you move everywhere with Padyatra, it is always, we're feeling like we are the devotees, and you know, we're preaching, you know, some pride, some ideas there. And when you come to the dam, the situation totally turns around. They're treating you like dirt. They don't care for you. You're just a person who's coming from outside and trying to preach to them. They don't want to be preached to. They're the Dhamvasis, and it's a really interesting experience. Every time when this yatra is entering a dham, normally we are kind of preaching and we're kind of getting appreciated. But when you enter into the dham, you get so many more difficulties, and the situation is totally opposite. So the same thing when we are entering into the dams, we have to be very much appreciating actually the situation that the Lord has performed his pastimes there. And a very wonderful final lesson from Pariyatra is depending on the animals, depending on the bulls. Very, very wonderful experience. You people get a lot of training here. So I was thinking this morning, should I say this sentence? Then I cancelled that idea. Since you ask me now, I got some training. I learned like how to change the tire, and I learned how to find a water where there is no water. We did get some training on Padyatra. So over the years, I learned how to take care of this huge Padyatra bulls, even to the point of putting the shoes on them. So this Padyatra is totally depending on the bulls. If anything is wrong with the bulls, the deities won't move. And maybe you can put the rat behind the tractor, but that is not the same, you know, just to travel the rat by tractor from A to B. This is not in any way making up for the bullocks. So the bullocks are the main moving point, because the rat is moving with the bullocks. So we're totally depending on them. So this is many times we... You know, here in Chaupati, you almost probably we are far away from the idea that we're actually depending on the bulls. Even in the farms these days, this people are not thinking like that. In Pandapur, we used to plow with the bullocks, but sometimes the bullocks gone for Padyatra. Then you call the tractor will do it. But in the original society, and Srila Prabhupada many times is making that, we have to actually depend on the cows and as our mothers, and the bulls as our fathers. So this principle is 100% there on Padyatra. If they get sick or something, then all attention is only on getting the bulls back in health and how to do and get the doctor, because we have to move to the next destination. So a different kind of training was there. How to survive in the heat, how to survive in the cold. It's a different kind of setup, but still, I guess that kind of philosophical training you're getting here is from my point of view, it's like everyone maybe is looking to what we're not having. So you're sometimes maybe thinking, must be nice to get that kind of experience. Whereas I would think I would have been maybe now rather prefer this kind of experience you people are having here. But in the end, the Lord is fulfilling everyone's desires. So if anyone has an interest, the Padyatra is on the road. They're just now leaving Bengal. They're somewhere in moving towards Durgapur, I think, Asansol. They're just a very nice, interesting experience about material and spiritual. When you're in Bengal, the people are very much appreciating, but many communists are there. So in all these villages, everywhere, these red flags are there with that kind of instrument and that hammer. Everywhere. So you come to the border, I think Asansol is the border, and sharply, just from here to there, the everywhere houses, they also have flags. Anyone know what is on the flags in Bihar? See, you don't know. Eh? The every town and village in Bengal, they have these flag poles. You know, bamboos with a flag on every house and village. So they have that communist symbol. So when you cross the border to Bihar, there are also many, many flags. Every house almost have a flag, but they have somebody on the flag. Anyone know? Hanuman. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Every house in Bihar is having a flag with a Hanuman on. So it is so wonderful, you know, to step over that border. It is such a relief, you know, to see all these flags with Hanuman and this communist nonsense is coming to an end. So, many little things to learn and to see. Many people think Bihar is a very bad place. Nowhere in India, sadhus get that much respected as in Bihar. No other place I have found. Many times, when you do that advance party, you're always depending on people to help you. In Bihar, you meet anyone, an old man, a young boy, whoever you meet to ask for that first information. Many times he will say, okay. He will travel with you until you have got your accommodation. And at the end he said, okay, I can go. I've never found that in any other states. And book distribution, I remember sometimes in some jungle Muslim village, we stopped, there was three Hindu houses, and we were thinking why we came here. And night time, some hundreds of people came and 70 Bhagavad Gita went in the night pravachan. So people are very much like to buy the books. Like that, different states have different flavor. So if you join the Padyatra now, you get a little bit experience of Bengal, you get 2 months, 3 months Bihar, and then you get Jagannath Puri Radyatra. So get a little bit of experience of Orissa. So many different states are there. Main thing is if you travel, the more you travel, it is the same everywhere. The external flavor is a little different, but eating, sleeping, meeting, and defending material life in different tastes and flavors, it is everywhere the same. So the message of Godhead has to be distributed to every town and village. So Padyatra is doing that. It's a very wonderful experience. If you don't want to join our Padyatra, make your own Padyatra. There's enough of you. Isn't it? A little bit. We have a Padyatra Maharashtra also that came to an halt because of less participation. It's just standing. The Lord is standing there and Pandharpur is waiting that some devotees are joining up so we can put it back on the road. So exclusively only Maharashtra. You can go from congregation center to congregation center. Please, everyone welcome. So we reached 9 o'clock. I've done my time. Jai Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.